pulpit for a month. Qualify there. We're off to Ghana in a couple of... Somebody cheer there. And I just wanted to say something encouraging today, kind of tying in with what we're saying, and that is talking about the evidence of God's goodness. Hallelujah. Who's all experienced the goodness of God in their lives? It's quiet in here today. Thank you for that reading, Graham. Wonderful. Love that scripture. Hallelujah. And I don't know about anyone else, but I still feel excited. You might just be here and showing up and paying your dues. Oh, can I say that? But I'm always glad to be here. Why am I here, Pastor Robert? Because I figured out God was good to me yesterday. And so far, God's been good to me today. And regardless of my circumstances, can I say, God's going to be good to me tomorrow. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. Doesn't matter what my problems are. We'll never change the fact that God is good. Are you hearing this? And we could stop right there, but we won't. We'll keep on going because during difficult times, who's all going through a difficult time? Some are. It's easy to look around, isn't it, and to see the evidence of things we don't like kind of life today, things we don't agree with, or things we wish were different or we could change. Just you go ahead, switch on the news, or go to any social media site. And I can guarantee you that within moments you'll be reading of murder, corruption, injustice in the world, poverty, so-called natural disasters, sickness, sin. And life can be a little bit overwhelming. Aren't you glad that one thing that remains is the love of God and goodness of Jesus? Sustains me, keeps us going, keeps us persevering, keeps us pressing through to the greater things that He has for us. And many, because of all these things going on, many use this chaos as evidence that there actually is no creator. David wrote in the midst of trial and turmoil in Psalm 36, yet he also experiences and he also sees the evidence of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Amen. I officiated recently at a family wedding, heard my cousin Martin sing a song that I'd heard briefly a year before. That song was Evidence, which Esther and the band so beautifully sang for us today. It's like a psalm of David causing you and I to look for and see, and we must see the evidence of God's goodness, and we have to see the evidence of God's faithfulness all over our lives, every single day. And I understand when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and there seems to be evil all around about you, it can be hard for you when you're struggling with life and turmoil and testing and that season of tragedy you find yourself in to say, God, you are good. But for the real genuine child of God, it's when you're going through that stuff that you stand up and say, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. There's no doubt my God has been good to me. My God has been faithful to me. The words in that song, in case you fell asleep during it. Let me say it to you. All throughout my history, my life, your faithfulness has walked beside me. Amen. The winter storms made way for spring in every season. Wonderful. Here's the line. And it's all got to do with God perspective in your life. From where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness. Praise God. Where? All over my life. All over my life. I see the promises of your fulfillment all over my life. In Psalm 36, which Graham read for us, David says, your love. Wonderful. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Praise God. Your faithfulness to the skies. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. What wonderful lyrics and words from Scripture to encourage the child of God today. Here's the thing. We can dramatize, we can talk, we can summarize, we can look at the world we live in every single moment of every day. We can get caught up nowadays in the most negative, gruesome, awful conversations regarding our economy, regarding our country, everything that's taking place. Before I go away, I want to say this to you. Let us choose not to live in the chaos of our times. But let us, as children of God, choose to live in continual celebration. Let us live in gratitude with great rejoicing as you and I constantly look to Jesus and see the evidence of Christ and the goodness of God all over our lives every moment of every day. Are you hearing this? So what am I here to say today? Hallelujah. I just wanted to come down today and say, see the God I serve? He's good. That was pretty much it. God is good. It's a throwaway line from many people today. And I wonder if that's in your list of words, how you describe your God today. Do you get up every morning and say, God, you are good. God, you are great. God, your name is greatly to be praised. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I adore you. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, no one compares to you. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. You're the author and finisher of my faith. You are the first and last. You're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are God and you are good and I love you. And today I'm going to revel and bask in the goodness of my God. Hey, I might be going through some stuff. I might be going through a trial. I might be going through a test. But here's the thing. His goodness never changes. Hallelujah. His goodness towards every one of us remains that one constant thing in our lives. So often we read the word good. Everyone say good. Hallelujah. It's good. And often we say it's good. It's performance related. That's how it plays out. You encourage someone, perhaps your child or someone's done well in the church because they're good at doing something. You say, hey, that was good. You're good. We don't often use it to describe the intrinsic nature of someone or something. You see, God is goodness personified. He is awesome. But we have to go a step further into this. Because this describes the very nature of God. That He is good. In the same way that He is love. In the same way that He is light. When Moses was preparing to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he said he didn't want to continue unless God's presence went with them. And then Moses asked for the evidence of God's presence in Exodus chapter 33. It says, then Moses says, now show me your glory. Hallelujah. That's another good prayer. And look how God responds. And the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God's, listen to this, you may not have seen this before, but God's very nature, His very presence, is His goodness. Oh. Simple terms. And I don't know about you if that just went over your head there. But that is remarkably incredible to me. That the presence of God is the goodness of God in the life of the child of God. In other words, If we carry or are carriers of the goodness of God, here's the big deal. We're actually carriers of the presence of God. And when people come alongside the goodness of God, it changes them. You cannot be in the presence of God and remain unaffected. His presence affects you. It changes you. And let's be honest today. Sometimes it can be hard to believe that God is good. Is that right? Because for some, life can be a little bit daunting. And life can be a little bit hard. Why? Because we encounter trials of various kinds, some are minor, and others can be downright heartbreaking for some today. So talking about the goodness of God can be a bit difficult at different times in life, especially if you don't feel that right now you're experiencing the goodness of God in your life. When we find ourselves wading hip deep through the rivers of sorrow, it's hard in these days to hold fast to the goodness of God. Is that right? Max Lucado wrote in Grace for the Moment, you should check that out if you've not read that. He simply says, God is good. He knows what he's doing. Listen to this. But when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Hallelujah. We need to be regularly reminded that God is good. Is that right? Because we forget, don't we? We forget just how good he is. We have to be reminded at different times that our God is a faithful God. We have to be reminded, don't we, Stephen, that God's on our side. Hallelujah. All the time. You have to be remembered, guys in the balcony, hello, that God is for you 100% of every single moment of every single day. Can I hear an amen? That was just the balcony. Praise God. And here's the thing. We rattle through this morning. It means nothing, that comment. Not a thing. Scriptures. Who knows what scriptures are? That's the Bible. We should all have one if we're children of God. Scripture gives us abundant proof of God's glorious, but not just glorious, God's overwhelming goodness. And I think we have to remind ourselves of these things on a pretty much constant basis. And I'm glad we sung about these things in worship today. Because here's the very, very first thing that we as believers hold fast to. God is good. Why is God good? God is good because he gave us Jesus. He's good because he gave us his only begotten Son. The man, Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, wow, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give you and I all things? Now, let's just stop because we're going towards communion in a few moments. Let's ponder, if we can, this staggering truth for our lives right now. God gave up his son. Did you hear that? God, we sung it about four times today. God gave up his son for us. God gave up his son for you, for us today. And that is the greatest, greatest proof that God is good in our lives today. Why did he give up his only begotten son? Why did he have to do that? I told you, be basic. To pay for my sins. While I was still or yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ gave it up for me. He came on a rescue mission to save my soul. See, there was a time in my life, you might not believe this, I was once in darkness. You been there? I was once in darkness. I was once in that thing called the horrible pit. Now, you're probably much, much better than me, all you guys out there. You've probably never experienced that horrible pit or that darkness. I've been there. Paul said he was the worst of sinners. Well, some of us might come alongside him in that particular category. But Jesus came on a rescue mission with the goodness of God and gave up his only begotten son to cleanse you and I from all unrighteousness. All. But here's the thing. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. And we certainly didn't deserve any of this. Scripture says we in fact were enemies of God. We willingly followed the ways of the world. We believed the lies of Satan. And yet in spite of all of this, God gave up his son for us. Is there any greater proof, church, that God is good? Any? Can you think of any? Does anything come close? Is there any greater evidence that God loves you and I that no one else could possibly love us? Listen, I cannot imagine giving up one of my children, although it's crossed my mind. I won't tell you which one, because I think they're all here. No. I cannot imagine, and I've got three, giving up any of my children, even at times when being a parent has been exhausting, overwhelming, and times heartbreaking. And yet God, who has infinite wisdom, actually sacrificed his only son to rescue you and I from our sins. God is good. God is good. And God's goodness for you and I today is absolutely overwhelming. It then says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Amen. So again, I'll repeat it. God is good. Just look at someone, try and convince somebody in church today. May be difficult depending on who you're sitting next to. But just look at someone and say, hey, God is good. Now see the person you received that from. Did you actually believe they meant it? Good. Good. Because not only did he give his son, but then he adopted you and I into his family. Praise God. Praise God that he did that for you and I today. If God had simply forgiven our sins, which let us admit are many, more so for the guys in the balcony, because that's why you sit up there. Let's be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. Hiding in the balcony. It's a joke. Calm down. Don't text me or send me emails after. I'm repenting right now. Where sins were many, but are all washed away. Hallelujah. But if that's all it had been, our forgiveness, would that not have been more than enough to prove his goodness in our lives? The thing about God is he always goes on the extra mile. And he goes staggeringly way beyond just forgiving us. Not only has he forgiven us, but he has now adopted you and I into his family. We literally are sons and daughters of God with all the rights and privileges that come along with that. So now today, church, hear this. We can call the omnipotent, omniscient, everlasting Father. We can call him Father. Abba, Daddy, hear what I'm doing here? Father, Daddy, Abba. We're just getting his identity right. That's all we're doing this morning. Just being clear with what's going on. Some of you missed that already. And for churches looking in, we love you in Christ Jesus. But look at that again. Don't you still, I don't know, I'm saved for quite a long time, not as long as many people in here. I still find this absolutely mind-blowing that I have direct access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I find it mind-blowing. When we're weary and overwhelmed and run down, we can run directly with access to the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. We can pray about everything to Him. No prayer is too small. No care is too little. No burden too big or small. We can cast all our cares, all our anxieties, all our fears on our Father, knowing that He cares for us. Amen. We know that God is good because He's adopted us as His children. And I love how Tim Keller puts it. He says, I love this, the only person who dares wake up the king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. Love that. And we have that kind of access. That's the access we have. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's another reason for God's goodness. God is good because He provides for us. Amen. Because you and I in this room are valued children of God, we can be absolutely sure that God will provide all of our needs. Amen. All of them. Now, I am 100% committed to providing everything I possibly can for my children and for my grandchildren. I will do whatever is necessary to ensure that they have all that they need to thrive and succeed in this world. Therefore, if I long to be generous to my own children, how much more does God long to be generous to those who He has bought with His very own blood? How much more? Jesus goes on in Matthew 7 verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Amen. Listen to this. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly? None. If something is good for us, God absolutely will give it to us. Why? Because He is generous and provides more than we can possibly think or imagine. He provides for us out of His abundant, overflowing wealth. And just take this one to the bank when you get home with you today, but you know it really well, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need. Do you hear that? My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I think the Spirit is saying that someone perhaps needed to hear that today. God will provide. Just catch that by the Holy Spirit this morning if that's for you. Just take it in your hand, hold on to it. Glory to God. And there's even more than that. There's even more than that. Let me give you one more thing. And this has been a big thing for my life. God is good because He guides us. That's good for me because I have been wayward in my upbringing. Haven't a dad and mum? Oh, the head's down. But then I turned out the best of them all. Peter, you know I love you. His goodness has led my life. If God was not good and guiding, I wouldn't be here. I would be somewhere else. If God hadn't led me, I wouldn't have Gail. I wouldn't have three sons. I wouldn't have my grandchildren. I wouldn't have a church family. I wouldn't have any of this. But His goodness led me and brought me to the place that I am today. And I think sometimes, did I deserve this? Did I deserve it? No, we didn't. But grace, His grace covered all of this today. I'm just going to digress here, but I have this on overhead today. I think that's why every single child of God, and whether you're Christian or not Christian, loves the 23rd Psalm. I think everybody in the world loves the 23rd Psalm. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, not for my name's sake, for His name's sake. Not only does God provide for all our needs, but He guides us in every single step we take. And I think this is the most important thing I'm saying today. Because I think some people in this auditorium are at a crossroads in your life. And you're really struggling. And you know which way to go. You know which way to go. And you know what decision you have to make. It's a matter of being right or being wrong when it comes to the things of God. But I want you to consider this today. There's never a single moment. There's never a single moment when I felt I was walking alone. Not one. I've always been conscious of His presence. And again, that's why I'm here. Yes, I've felt at times that I've wandered. Yes. But I believe His goodness has led me. Why? Because I've trusted the Good Shepherd. I've trusted a loving, loving Shepherd. I've understood in life that God loves me regardless of what I've done. And here's the other thing, and this is kind of visionary for some today, but it's in the Bible, you'll know it. He's always leading us to green pastures. That doesn't mean the grass is greener on the other side, because it's not. He's leading us to the place, in other words, He wants us to be. He's bringing us to still waters. He's always holding our hand, taking us by the hand. And even when it seems like we don't know where we're going or what we're doing in this world, God never ever leaves you and I alone, never abandons us to our own devices. Just as the earthly shepherd carefully watches over and protects His sheep, so your heavenly Father carefully watches over you. Sheila Walsh wrote many years ago, when things weren't going well, I felt that God, when things were going well, I felt that God loved me. When things were hard, I felt alone. She said, the unfolding showed me that God is always near. God is always close. In other words, God does not change who He is just because my circumstances change. In good times and hard times, God is right by our side. All the time. And this morning, if you find yourself overwhelmed by your circumstances, know this. God is never overwhelmed at all. Ever. Here's some good news. God always knows exactly what He's doing. All the time. And He is walking with you and I every step of the way, leading on sweet paths, even when it seems like we're walking in the dark. Again, God's goodness is seen in His guidance. Why don't you guys come back? So here's the thing today, dearly beloved. God God can never be not good at any point. Not even for a split second. And I think that reality alone should fill every one of us with hope and with joy today. Listen to this psalm in closing. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. The reality for every one of us today. Would you stand with me this morning? So open your heart to God as we come and prepare ourselves for the table. The reality in all that I've said today is that God is worthy of our deepest worship. God is good simply because who he is, and his goodness will never come to an end. At the end of the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not complicated, is it? Not at all. When we hear of God's goodness, we should respond with great rejoicing and worship. So our God is good. The worship song says we can live in the goodness of God. We're going to come to the table right now. I'm going to ask those who are serving just to come and stand before me. Let me serve you guys, if you will.